This evening, I'm not going to talk about worship. That's most probably a sermon for another evening that I've just talked about. But I want to talk about God, our rock. Because it's something really important and it's something scriptural that we need to go back to. Psalms 31, verse 1 to 3, David says that, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me into your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." Beautiful psalm. But the first thing that David says is that God is the rock. God the rock is our place of safety and refuge. And this evening is not going to be on a how to do it, but it's something that I'm just sensing God wants me to talk to. I'll come back to learn and explain it to me, but there's something that I need to, you know, arise within inside of us that God wants us, and something that I want to awaken inside of you as God is our rock. And it's important because for the times that we are going into at this stage, God should be your rock. I can tell you, we're moving into really evil days. Evil. And your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your wife can't save you. Nor your mother or your grandfather. God, your rock. God, your rock must be our place of safety and it must be our refuge. And we must have a secret place that we can run to in times of adversity. We must go to that secret place, not regularly, continually. There's a deliberate reason why I said continually, because it's a continuous thing and it's in a continuous battle. So we're going to have to start teaching each other that we need to go to that secret place, that place of refuge, that place that only God can have in your life. And so God's a jealous God when it comes to giving somebody protection. God hates idols. In other words, no other relationship, person, or whatever it may be, can take the place of God as your refuge. My wife will never be able to save me when I'm in the depths of hell. She can't. She can support me, but she can't save me. She's not my salvation. And so I'm starting with this because there's a lot of people that has idols in their lives. Relationships are their idols. Their boyfriend is their idol. Their husband is their idol. The Bible college is their idol. Evangelism is an idol. Whatever the case may be, Christ alone can be your rock, your source of salvation. And it's a secret place that you must know. And this evening, I'm sorry, I'm not going to explain how to go to the secret place. I'm just giving this to you as what I know is important, as God wants us to think of it. But you need to know how to go to your secret place. As Jesus said, when you close that door, you go on your knees and then you start praying, "Our Father." We need to connect with God as our rock. The second thing that we read there from David, it is from that place that God will give us guidance and leadership. Would you go to verse 3 quickly, Ridwan? Just check out what verse 3 says. "For you are my rock and my fortress, therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." In your hell, when you are in that place, that secret place, God will give you guidance and he will lead you. He will lead you no other way. And so this evening, I just want to extend this to you. If you do not know how to connect and be in that secret place, I'm asking you now, after the service, come, let us pray together. If you have idols in your life where you place more value on things other than God as your rock of refuge and safety, come, let us pray. Because never in your life is the leadership of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit more important than in a time such as this, where you need the godly wisdom. So we're going to have to talk about this. Isaiah chapter 44 verse 8 says, "Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you that from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." It's one of those few times in Scripture where God speaks Himself. And then God says, "There's no other rock but me." You know the rock from WWE is a fake rock. I'm not talking about that rock. We're talking about the rock of all ages. Some of the people are only laughing now. The rock. But God, the rock, gives us strength and shows us faithfulness. God's strength and faithfulness speaks of His love. In other words, I'm talking about a secret place that where you can go to and God will give you strength to keep on, keep on. God will give you strength when you're so weak and it seems that you can't run anymore. And then in that secret place, the rock of all ages will come and then He will tell you, "Have I not told you this? That there's no other rock than me? Gird yourself, get up. You're standing in the presence of royalty. A royal rock, a beautiful gem, like a diamond. And when all those beautiful light shines through it, those rays goes into your eyes and it just brightens up your day. And you stand there and you just have the sense of, oh my God, this is beautiful. As He gives you strength. I can never give you strength. God is the only one that can give you strength to keep on, keep on. I love it. Keep on, keep on. A bit of a misnomer and a weird statement. Keep on, keep on. How do you keep on, keep on when you don't want to keep on, you know? But that is God's heart, that He will give you strength. If you go back to that scripture, Isaiah 44 verse 8, that is why God can tell you in that secret place, do not fear. Don't fear. If you know the rock, you don't have to fear. There's another thing that God says. God, the rock, gives us strength and shows us His faithfulness. We need to be witnesses to these truths. God said in that scripture, "You're my witnesses, man. You must testify about me." And so a lot of Christians can't testify about God giving them strength. A lot of Christians can't testify about God giving them strength. There's a lot of people in church really sick. Their spirits, their minds, they're really sick. They fall into patterns that ties them, that grabs them by the throat, chokes the life out of them. They get tired because the weight of life, it just brings them down. They go into depression, but they all smile. The Lord is good, but the Lord's not good, because all strength has been tapped from them. And God says, "My children must be witnesses to my strength." We need to live thankful lives. And it's something important that I'm saying here, because you will never experience more of God if you haven't said thank you for what He has done for you. And so there's a lot of people in church, they don't say thank you for what God has done. Why? Because the depression and the pressures of life makes them forget about what God has already done. You know, when you're in a bad spot, you can't think of anything good. You know that. When the devil starts running around with your mind, and then it's really difficult to think of something cool. it's really difficult to think of something cool. You look at other people and you're just so miserable. And it's one thing if your husband comes with that flowers and he blesses you. And you say, oh, the flowers is beautiful. Oh, you made my day. Thanks for the chocolate, you know. You're so in a beautiful state. But then the next day you wake up again and it's the same old, same old. Still depressed. Still angry. Oh, look, yes, the flowers still. Because there's a place that God wants to occupy. It's a place that the rock of all ages that wants to occupy when it comes to being witnesses to these truths. So we're going to have to start teaching each other about testifying about the truth of what God has done in your life. All those times when God came through for you and He changed your life forever. Can you think of that now? Can you declare it? As Scripture teaches, Psalms 95 verse 1 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Truly my soul, Psalm 62 verse 1 to 2, truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He is only my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Our worship should speak of victory and deliverance. The way that we worship must speak of that victory and deliverance, where David says, God is my rock. He's my salvation. Check my moves. See the way that I dance. See the way that I jump. And you will know that something has touched me and someone has occupied my heart. He has changed my life forever. And so I will shout for joy. There's genuine joy within my heart. I can really experience God in my place of hell. And I can give Him all glory because He's my rock. He's my rock. Not many people knows God the Deliverer. When we talk of deliverance, we think of demons and people scotching, you know, vomiting. In the name of Jesus. We think of that when we think of the deliverance. And people flying around. Ooh, it's evil. Well, maybe that's part of it. But a lot of people, they do not know God the Deliverer. Where he will come to a blind and a mute man, and the blind and mute man, and God will say, now just leave the man. And then that man can speak. Nothing spectacular. Not buckets to mop up the vomit. Just there on the side, in front of all people, God the Deliverer. We are ashamed to say that I've met God. I've been delivered from demons. I've been delivered from demons. You know why? Because God's my rock. Why are we ashamed to talk of God the Deliverer? Why are we ashamed to talk of the rock of deliverance? I'll tell you why. We don't have a relationship with Him when it comes to things evil and things spiritual. He created everything, and everything that He created decided, some of the things He created decided to become evil. So He knows. He's not ashamed. And He said that the gates of Hades, it can't come against His church. Because He's God the rock. The one that brings deliverance. I've told this story about one evening in our first year of marriage. One afternoon, my wife and I, Almery, we had an argument from 3 o'clock the afternoon till 2 o'clock the morning. Without any solution. Until 2:30 the morning, we both burst out into tears. The next morning when we woke up, we were lying in each other's arms and we couldn't remember why we argued. I promise you. I did not understand what happened. Everything was calm in our home. I got my coffee in bed. She got a kiss on the cheek. It was wonderful. And so afterward, God started teaching me. God told me, you met me. I'm God the Deliverer. Sometimes I will come into your home and I will deliver you and your wife from everything evil. I said, wow, God. I can remember I was in depression for a week in ministry. I was doing things, but there was a heaviness on me. You know how you go on with life, but you just experience that heaviness. Can I help you? When you wake up, you think of a certain thing that makes you depressed. Then at night, when you go to sleep, you think of that same thing. And then sometimes when you talk to people, that thing pops into your mind during the day. Now that's a heaviness of spirit. It's an issue that you need help with. But now you don't tell anybody. You just smile and you go on and you say, praise the Lord. Yeah, come on, yeah. You know, Jesus all smiles with your bar one. You're the bar one man. You're the bar one man. You're the man. You're the main man. And you have a swagger, you know, a swagger. You're the man. But now nobody knows how you feel. And so what's beautiful about home is that you can smile with everybody. Now, in our home is like that. You have the privilege of coming to home just as you are. That is, in our home, that is rule. So when I come home, I come. Oh, then I can be depressed there. Because it's home. It's a place where I can be depressed. So then you come home and then you sit there. But now, the other thing that we've told each other in our home is, but if you're wrong, then you must also repent and apologize if you are wrong. So you can come home angry. Did you know that? You can go to God when you're angry. You can go to Him when you're depressed. You can go to Him when you're confused. Now, the same place for us at home. Our children are allowed to come home depressed. They are allowed to come home angry. They are allowed to wake up agitated. Now, a little one. Now, she's not a morning person. You know, she comes into the room, greets nobody. She just looks at every one of us. Now, we allow her to be that. And then at a certain stage, we'll tell her, look, Eva, when you come in, you must greet. Because we greet one another. We show respect for one another. We know that you woke up and you didn't feel cool, but we just want to tell you that you need to greet. Why am I telling you this? Why am I explaining this principle to you? It's important that we know, as I was sitting there that week, my wife came to me, and you know what my wife told me? You know what? You've been sitting on this couch for a week now, every night. There's other people in this house that needs you. Get your act together. And she went to sleep. Now, I was offended. God, this wife that you gave me. Ooh. I'll tell you, God, if it wasn't for the fact that you gave her to me, then... Ooh, God. But you know, as I was talking to God about that, about how insensitive my wife was, and how could she say that to me? God just dropped this in my spirit. Now, what are you doing on this couch? And I thought, but what am I doing here? And so the next morning, she got her breakfast in bed. And I thanked her. You know why? Because she spoke a word into my life, and I met God the deliverer. He delivered me from a spirit of heaviness. Just an openness. We're talking about God the rock. We're talking about God the deliverer that can use your wife. Let's just read again. Waiting and worshiping is going to be the keys to instantaneous deliverance. Waiting and worshiping. Have you ever been delivered from something as you worship in church? I've been. I'm standing there, and then God right there just brings clarity. And then He delivers me from so much. And I think, wow, God, if only the people behind me knew what you did to me now, then they'll maybe be very scared of what you did. But I tell you, in that place of waiting, it's going to play a key part in how we're going to do church. And so the worship went on for much longer. And I have a sense that at times, we're not going to preach, we're only going to sing. God's going to take over services and we're just going to sing and people are going to get delivered. Because people will get delivered by God if I preach or not. Why am I saying that? I'm not saying preaching isn't important. In fact, preaching is the most important part of a service pertaining to what God wants to do and where God is. But God doesn't need a preacher to deliver people. God doesn't need worship to deliver people. But the way that I'm seeing it now is God is saying to me, He is going to deliver us through music, through worshiping and just waiting in His presence. You know why? Because God needs to teach this world that you can't base life and life in abundance on the personality of a worship leader, a preacher, or a worship band. We were so blessed by Brian Dirksen and what's the other chap's name that was here? Graham Kendrick that was here. It's just these guys' humility. Graham Kendrick is 65 years old. I prayed for him at the back. You know what Graham Kendrick told me? He was so surprised and so nobody ever prays for him when he... Fred and Sias prayed for him and for Brian in Stellenbosch. And he just said, you know, nobody takes time out to do this for us. Just these guys' humility. Standing back. Graham Kendrick, worship leader for I don't know how long. He's 65 years old. I heard him spoke to Eugene and Wani there. And I don't know who else was with him. And Graham Kendrick just told him, look here. We're also in a church where we have to pack up every day. Every Sunday, just as you and I just want to honor you for what you're doing. But the humility, as these guys understand that the worshiping comes from that place of humility with God, it's so powerful. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 7 to 8 says, therefore, to you who believe he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Ooh, a rock of offense. Ooh. They stumble being disobedient to the word which they also were appointed. God the rock is also our judge. We're going to have to teach people disobedience cannot be tolerated within church life. Insubordination is unacceptable. Insubordination, verstaan nie wat het is om onder gesag te wees. Mense wat nie verstaan wat het is om onder gesag te verstaan. Geestelike oorlogvoering gaan als oor gesag. Submit to God, resist, then the devil flees. If you can't submit, don't resist, you'll die. The devil won't flee. Because God is also a judge. He is that rock that will judge. That rock becomes a stumbling block for so many people in church. And at this stage, there's so many people, they're offended with the rock. Just go to the next slide. I'll tell you this. There's a lot of offended Christians because of their disobedience. A lot of offended Christians because they're disobedient to the rock. It's not the church. It's not the people in church. It's not the worship. It's not the pastor. It's the rock that they have a problem with. But they can't admit that they have a problem with the way the rock does stuff. The rock has a way of doing things. The rock is a rock of order. And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, Jesus said to them, have you never read the scripture, the stone? Jesus is referring to this scripture. Now just watch what Jesus says. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in your eyes. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus said, The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing fruit. And the one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Jesus says, if you fall on the rock, you will crumble. That's fine. But Jesus says, be careful when that rock falls on you. Jesus was saying that to the Pharisees. Jesus said, you keep on rejecting me. You want to be disobedient. Why don't you fall on me? You will be crushed. It's fine. But be careful when I fall on you. What does scripture say? It's crushed. Broken to pieces. Sorry, when you fall on the rock, you're broken to pieces. Broken to pieces speaks of that place of humility, where you know when you know who's the rock. But Jesus said, if I must fall on you, my brother, you'll be crushed to pieces. A scripture that a lot of people don't want to talk about. They read over it. But God the rock wants us to produce fruit. Otherwise, the gospel will be taken away. Just go back to verse 43. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing fruit. Jesus told the Pharisees, you know what? I'm not your rock. You have your own kingdom. You have your own thing that you're building, your own foundations. You're doing your own thing. But I'll tell you, I'll take the kingdom away from you. That is why scripture teaches in John, whatever is born of this world, it will never overcome. But that which is born of God will overcome everything in this world. It's the same principle. It's the same gentle Jesus. It's still gentle Jesus. But now it's the Lord of war. The rock of offense. Has the rock offended you? Has the rock ever offended you? The rock has offended me quite a few times in my life. But then you must deal with it. And all that I'm saying, God, I'll rather fall on you. But God, I don't want to be crushed. There's a beautiful story where David sins. And God's really furious with David. Then God starts with judgment as the rock. More than 80,000 people dies because of a wrong decision by leadership. Now watch this. Nobody can see the angel of death. Only David can see the angel as he just kills people. More than 80,000 people, they die as the angel just goes. And David goes to the temple and David says, God, you must help. And then God gives David three choices. God tells David, okay, David, you must offer to me. But I just jumped the page now. Let's just move back. Before God started with the judgment, God asked David, what do you want me to do? You want me to judge you? Or do you want a few years of famine? Do you want nature to take over, the nature? And then God also told him, or do you want me to deliver you over to your enemies? So David says, no, don't give me nature and don't give me my enemies. You rather judge me. Then God judges him with this, where more than 80,000 people dies. So David brings an offering. At that stage in David's life, he could have been offended because of the rock. At that stage when Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, Peter could have been offended. You know how many times Jesus rebuked the disciples? Sometimes we're just so dumb, you know. We're stupid. We say stupid things in front of the King of all kings. We just act stupid in front of him, and then he has to sharply rebuke us. And then we meet this judge, this rock of offense. But I'll tell you, Let's go back to verse 42. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. But it's just so beautiful when we build our lives on that rock, the chief cornerstone, that things that keep on standing. We're talking this evening, and I'm finished now, the rock of all ages. We're talking about God, our rock, the source of everything. And it would be a false gospel if I only talk about God, the beautiful side of the rock. I must show you the other side of the rock. Because if I don't teach you that, it's a false gospel. So a lot of people will only tell you about the beautiful side of the rock, but they don't want to tell you about the other side of the rock. You must know both sides of the rock. Because if you meet God the judge, and so there's a lot of false grace that is being preached. I want to warn you. There's a lot of people that makes grace cheap. Genade was nog nooit goedkoopie. There's a false grace that's being cheap. Preached. And so I just want to tell you guys, open up your eyes to Scripture. Don't look through Scripture through one particular viewpoint. Look to Scripture through the eyes of Jesus. Open yourselves up to see the rock. The rock of trust, the rock of refuge, the rock of love, the rock of strength, but also the rock, the judge. Isn't it beautiful to stand on that rock? And on this I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not be able to come against it. Can the worship team get to the front? We're talking about security this evening. Waar lê jou sekuriteit? Security. Where's your security at this stage of your life? Is your security in finances? Is your security in a relationship? Does your happiness coincide with how much you have in the bank? Does your joy coincide with who's next to you? And I think God just wants to deal with idols this evening. Where you bring all those things that's more important than him to him and say, God, I'm giving this over. This is an idol in my life. And guys, the rest you can't fix. Hey. Jy kan tog 'n dingetjie in jou hart verander, hoor. Ek wil maar net vir jou dit sê. Jy kan maar probeer, maar dit gaan nie werk nie. You must just bring it to God and he'll do the rest. He'll do the surgery, you know. And it's a humbling thing to admit that there's something in my life more important than God. It's not a condemning thing, it's a humbling thing. Because Jesus will never condemn you. Are you with me? But it's humbling when you go to somebody and say, look, this thing is wrong in my life. Die ding is verkeerd in my lewe. Yes, hy vreet my lewe op. Die ding maak my lewe miserabel. Ek koester die ding baie meer. Ek kyk hom so en ek ooh en ek aah oor die ding en ek sit vir God daar op die backburner. Wag hom God daar, wag jy daar. En ek so wonderlik, die ding is so pragtig vir my, maar ek vergeet van God daar waar daar staan. The funny thing is he never walks away. Hy staan altyd daar en hy wag patiently. Till we come back. And then you know what I like about God? It's funny, he never says, where have you been? He just starts talking again. So what do you want to do now, my son, my daughter? What will you now do? Nee, ek was nêrens. Ek was nog altyd hier. Ek het veel gewag. Weet jy nie hoe lief is ek vir jou nie? Ek sal nooit van jou wegloop nie. Nooit nie. Ek sal nooit van jou, nee, los maar daai, hoor, my kind. Dis die papa se stylie. Daai is die my stylie, my kind. Maar genoeg nou, jy is besig om jouself nou weer te condemn. Ek verstaan. Dis hoekom toe ek sien jy kom daar aan, toe hardloop ek na jou toe. Ek het myself nederig genoeg gemaak om na jou toe te hardloop. Ek weet, jy was nog skurkerig om te kom, want jy het nog gedink, die blits gaat nou sieke slaan. Maar nee, die blits het nie geslaan nie. Ek het na jou toe gekom, want ek ag jou so kosbaar. Ek oen elke oggend oor jou, wanneer jy na my toe kom. Alles het net vir die 5 minute. I treasure the fact that you want to spend time with you. And then God would say, it's the most important thing in my life when you make time to spend time with me. Daai tyd wat jy kerk toe gaan en sel toe gaan en soggens opstaan en vir my bid, dis vir my die kosbaarste tye ooit. En heidiglik sit ons met 'n klomp mense wat nie kerk toe kom nie, wat nie klein groep toe kom nie. En ek kan jy nou ook al sê, hulle stilte tyd is in skerwe. They would want to argue with me, but I will tell them no. And then Jesus just stays there. Then he would say to Thomas, Thomas, now you still don't believe me, then put your fingers in these holes. Steek my vingertjie deur. Nou weet ek, ek is mos 'n ander brein. Ek weet nie, ek so seker gespeel het nou weer met Jesus. Hy is so comfortable aan mee. Hier so kan hy sê, geef my kos. En die rede hoekom God vir hom kos, because it's a glorified body. They had to see something spiritual. I'm not going to talk about that now. Maar gaan figure dit net uit, hoe lyk jou glorified body en as jy kos eet, wat gebeur? Pray about that. Just pray about it. Maar verstaan jy hulle God se hart? As die rots. En ons wil baie keer die rots so verkeerd opwryf. Ons hanteer hom soos 'n klip. Ons verwerp hom. And he's the rock of ages. He's the rock of love. En hy wankel nie. En hy laat jou nie in die steek nie. The rock that saves, the rock of salvation.